Yippee! Yippee! Yippee!
Listen, let the title of this thing. No title again. And I did only
the Is it rolling, Bob?
Say hello, Toto-chan. Say hello again. Toto-chan. Toto-chan.
Bing bong. Chick, chick, chick. It is the Scarborough Dude coming to you from St. Andrew's Cemetery. I wasn't planning on going here. I was on my way to, Thompson Park. And the turn off took me down this lovely little winding road in here in Scarborough. And so I stopped here instead. Instead of a grey, overcast November day, it is November 29th, almost 3 o'clock. I just stepped out to buy some beef. I know you're supposed to be cutting down on your meat, but man, they had... It was on sale, and it's I'm making a beef stew. This will be my third recipe using Instant Pot. Fourth, if I count boiling the eggs. And I gotta tell you, I've never boiled eggs so well, so perfectly. I'm just so impressed with that. That was just a hit right off the start. And then I made a kind of a spicy chicken and rice dish, which my son loved, finished it all up. And then yesterday, sausage and pasta. And again, all cooked together in the pot. You start off with the sauté, and then later you add the, you know, all the other ingredients, and you make your own spaghetti sauce right in the pot with all the stuff you need, and then just, bam, set it in 4 minutes, and it was done. Like, because I already browned the meat, sautéed the sausage meat. You take it out of the casing, put it in, anyway. God, I love this. I've got a ring, you probably can't use it. Yeah, I've got a ring check for anybody who wants an Instant Pot for $65, because they didn't have it at my local store, but I found one at another one, but probably they'd still honor this one. So if you're in the market for an Instant Pot and you don't want to pay the full $130, get in touch, would you? Scarborough Dude at Dixon Jane's. No, Dixon Jane's. Yeah, hang on. What? is it Dixon Jane's? I think it's DixonJane's@gmail.com or is it Scarborough Dude? I don't know. Contact me. Find out. I'll tell you. I got that. And then I'm going to a little house party tomorrow night. Sorry, I get excited when I podcast and I speak too quickly. Maybe a little too loudly, maybe a little too animated for your taste, and some of you will say, oh, fuck, I can't handle that dude today. So I try to calm down, but it's hard. Yep. Tomorrow, a house party. So I thought, okay, I've got to go into the liquor store and bring wine. It's a sort of a wine and pizza and wings thing. So, as soon as I walk in, I see these wonderful, tall, 500-milliliter bottles of a nice Riesling in a cat shape. And this was a party to talk about cats, because they have two cats and all the people coming have cats. And I thought, wow, thank you. Perfect. So they were green and red in Christmas colors. And I realized, yeah, I should have got two of them for my wife for Christmas. She doesn't drink a whole lot. She'd probably see through it and say, yeah, you're going to collect the bottles. I don't need them. No. All right. I take it back. It looks really nice for Christmas. It's like the traditional green and red you see for Christmas. But, of course, I could never let go of the bottles after that, and they'd end up in the bar, and that wouldn't make her happy. And she's not a thing collector, so, yeah. All right. Can't scratch that idea. Anyway, Linda will appreciate it. That'll be a little gift to them. And then, of course, I got a big bottle of 14% Spanish red, a decent one that I love. That's my preference. Okay, so anyway, I was out and decided I'd stop here and just talk to you. Last night, I had the pleasure of recording a podcast with I don't know which Jason to call him. Other Jason? We'll do, usually I do offensive terms like abnormal Jason or something. It's not very nice, of course. But we had a great time. I mean, he was almost, probably almost dreading recording with the Scarborough dude. Like, what am I going to do? And it turned out to be fun. I did, of course, Love Forever Changes. You'll probably hear that sometime late December. I don't know. There's a, you know, a lot of people lined up to do this best 100 albums. It's a fabulous idea. I told him that. And I had fun. I mean, I didn't have a lot of real factual information, but I certainly had a lot of feeling about it. And it was fun just hearing the album in the background and sharing it with people who will be listening to that podcast who have probably never heard of it, never listened to it, wouldn't know it, and yet it continues to appear in the top 100. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because today I got into an exchange with somebody I've never met, but I'm friends with on Facebook through our common interest in Jack Kerouac, and he knows the people I know who went to Lowell, so we have a lot of mutual friends, and so I friended him, and I love the things he posts. He posts an awful lot of just hippie love stuff, but the good stuff, and nice links, and suddenly, like today, he posted a Tom Waits song that I just, bam, I had to put it up on my own Facebook page. If you're friends, you will have already seen that, and it's just a great song, and a wonderful raw performance by Tom Waits. So he's that kind of guy. And anyway, he's talking about Tom Waits and Janis Joplin. And somebody else posts on his site, you know, where he's talking about this, that he hung out with Tom Waits before he was famous, before he was well known. Well, you know, a lot of people post stuff and you're not so sure, but this sounded pretty legit. And he knew Janis, and he drank with Janis. And, wow, okay, so a lot of the connection from those people is through Ken Kesey and that whole gang of Grateful Dead heads and people who were either on the bus or knew all about it. So it was an interesting connection. So I just happened to click on his name, and I go, all right, I'm just going to send, who is this guy who says he knows Tom Waits and or knew him and Janis before they were famous? And I click, and I see he's got his picture and then a big logo with the word love behind. And I look at that, and I think, wow, you know, that looks awfully familiar. The way the letters are formed to spell out the word love, I've never seen it in color like this, but I know those levels. And sure enough, I go downstairs and pick up the album, the vinyl that I played last night when I recorded. You seen the connection here? When I recorded the love episode for the album Forever Changes in the top 100. And sure enough, the lettering for the love logo on Forever Changes is exactly the same as the lettering on this guy's Facebook page. So I say, okay, hey, I noticed a similarity between the love logo and what you've got posted on your page. I'm curious to know if there's a connection there. And this other friend, the mutual friend, posts, oh yeah, there's a story there. And I will end here because I haven't heard back what the story is. So stay tuned to this podcast, and you too may hear the story of why this guy who knew Janis Joplin and Tom Waits has a connection somehow to the band Love. Okay? We'll see what happens. So that's all I wanted to tell you. I'm just excited about it, and I'm excited because I just finished my podcast to you yesterday, number 710. This is Dixon Jane's podcast, the beginning. Well, almost the beginning. You would have heard Tora-chan. I recorded that for my wife. My wife is flying to Japan today from Vancouver, and she just loves that poor little outdoor cat who lives full-time on her deck now. He's got a little bed he sleeps in and washes in, and then he's got this wonderful house that I picked up from a cat lady that's insulated with straw and an insulated roof, and it's just perfect, and he just, bam, that's his home, and it's under the table, so if it snows or rains, he doesn't get wet going in and out. He lives full-time on her deck, staring in the back door, meowing, saying, hey, it's time for another meal. And he gets 3 or 4 meals a day. He is well looked after. Anyway, I recorded his voice so my wife could hear it, and that would have been what you've heard at the beginning, and maybe you'll hear it at the end, too, because it's a really plaintive kind of meow. I need food. Bye for now. That's how we're starting this one. I used to have better sound effects. There used to be a lot of things about this podcast that were better. I put more effort into it. I thought carefully. I might have introduced songs. Now, I'm talking way back 13 years ago. And the reason for that is I have a friend in Atlanta. A person I've mentioned on this podcast before, Kenneth. I had the pleasure of meeting him on my trip back from Florida. And his girlfriend in his very neat little house and several of his bikes. We had a very nice evening together. In fact, we sat in this very vehicle, the road track. That's right, in his driveway. And we recorded a podcast. I think I did one of those interviews with him. Yeah, the thing that, you know, I haven't gone any further in those, but that's just one more symptom of perhaps my laziness. And the episode I just listened to, which was, I lost my phone, number 24, Kenneth pointed me in that direction. He sent me a text. And I read it. I don't know if I'll... Well, I'd share it with you if I had my damn phone, but I put it somewhere, and I was on my way out here. The cat was at the door. I decided I had to go in and stroke her and put some more food in her dish and touch the food to show, yes, it was okay for her to eat. We had this little routine. And I guess I left the phone on the kitchen counter, so I can't read Kenneth's text now. My God, dude, you're babbling again. Yeah. Well, I'm a little high, that's why. And I'm high because, again, thanks to Kenneth. Not that he gave me anything. He just gave me the incentive to, hey, What do you mean the direction of this? And you know, I've gone back, and you know, he's planning a long walk, and he was a hike, actually, I think, through the Appalachians. And anyway, said he really enjoyed episode number 24. So what do? I go to archive.org, type in Dixon Janes, find all my podcasts, or at least the first 600 are there, and found number 24 and played it. And it was a really good episode. It was a good episode. In fact, I listened right through to number 25, and number 25 was a large part of it. It was the story of the infamous meetup in Montreal before PAB, the episode where Bruce had his cardboard replacement delivered by Mark Blevis, first time I'd met Mark. And Bob and Kat were there, and the Okazoo folks, and my sidekick, the photographer from Nova Scotia guy, and Julian. And there's a lot of conversation with Julian at the bar at that time. Early Julian, 13 years ago, before Breather and his other successes. You know, this was a time when he was still doing, I believe, In Over Your Head special. So there's a bit of history there. And the thing is, it made me feel good. I had tears in my eyes. I was thanking Kenneth for giving me just a whole new lease on the day. What a way, you know, I could have been reading news. I could have been following the trade deal that Trudeau and just signed, the new, you know, U.S. trade deal replacing NAFTA that Trump wanted through. And I guess a lot of Americans are probably cheering on. Against the news of the GM closures, and oh my God, you know, all the things. Episode number 24 talked about worry and how foolish it is. So, I was very impressed with the can back then, the Scarborough dude. And I'm very, very grateful that this record is out there. And that's what, I was teary because it had been Kenneth who several times has contacted me and just given me a real lift. The first lift was when I first heard from him. Oh, my God. I got a listener in Georgia. A college student in Georgia is listening. That meant so much to me. And it's continued. He's probably been my most faithful listener and devoted fan, and it's quite wonderful. So Kenneth, this is to you, because you'll probably hear this episode too, and it's a real heartfelt thanks. I just gave you one in a text message, and I still have those tears in my eyes for it was him, Kenneth, that led me to go to the front door, sit down on Yuki's chair, and light up a joint, and come back in and plug in the earbuds and listen to the show. And the music was fabulous on that episode. The theme was good. I knew what I was doing, but that's what led me to the conclusion. My God, I have become lazy. I don't do anything. I record these, slap in a couple of songs, that's it. No special sound effects, no editing, no, you know, none of the creative stuff that I did back then. So, but I'm glad it's there, but this is all I can do now. And I realize, yeah, this is probably why there's a decline in listenership. This can is not nearly as entertaining, I don't think. And I have gotten a bit heavy with, you know, the world, you know, and I've pulled that into it in particular over, you know, topics that could be very heavy and are, I guess, my anxiety about fundamentalists, in particular Islamic fundamentalists, yes. Of sort of wanting to erase, like, my way of life, the things I say, the life I've lived, the things I do, the values I surround myself in, the TV shows I watch, the music I listen to, is just the true fundamentalists would just be so opposed that it's just better off I'm just dead. You see, now there I go again. I bring it up and I start getting heavy again, and I don't want to. what I want to celebrate is the fact that I'm very glad that I've done this podcast. And even though right now it might be a piece of shit, I don't care. I'm doing it. It's honest. I've kept my values. And I wrote back to Ken. I said, you know, the one thing that surprises me is I've been consistent. I've always supported other podcasts. You'll hear from the Okazoo on that episode. I've always pimped other podcasts on this show from the start. I've always seen it as a community. I've always seen it as a non-commercial community of friendships and valuing, focusing on the importance of our individual identities and who we are. And that's the thing I don't want to see erased. That's where you get frightened about the, you know, everybody buying the same sweatshirt at the same brand name shop. You know, the conformity, the buying in, the surrendering to power. All of these things got to be fought. Be who you are. Be yourself. Fucking do everything possible to take off the shackles and push back. Express yourself. And that message is rung true from the start. And it did make me think, holy fuck, guys. I've put 20 years into a zine. I've put, this is the 13th, 14th year, whatever, of doing this thing. This is a value. This is a piece of Canadiana, at the very least. And I want somebody like the CBC or somebody to take this. It's because I will be dead. I will be gone. But I'll be leaving this behind, the zine and this podcast. And I want somebody to curate that, to recognize that, whoa, down the road, this might have some value. This isn't just a fucking statistic. This is a life. And it's a life that's looking out a window, a middle-class Canadian life from a guy born in 1948 telling his story. Post-war baby boomer, yeah, there's millions of us. But even the music that's shared on this, like I heard a song there I haven't heard since. And it was an incredibly beautiful song. And I've been bemoaning the fact that my old black MacBook has died on me, and it might just be the battery, but I had over 9,000 songs on that thing, and I can't get at them now. And then I realized, wow, every single song, well, not every one, but every song that I really liked and picked out is in this record of podcasts, so they haven't gone. They've just been transferred from a computer onto, you know, in the middle of this podcast. And that also made me think, wait a minute, the last episode I only had one song. Good song, but only one because you're talking so much? Because, well, no, I'm doing what I always did. I'm sharing clips from other podcasts. That's what you hear. That's what you heard in the last one. That hasn't changed either. I just think I maybe have become a little more boring. And, yeah, old people tend to do that, you know? So, anyway, it's snowing. I'm in the road trek. I'm happy. I'm still buzzed. I'm where I need to be. And that email or that text message from Kenneth, it's like that poem I always recite. The way, I can't say it in a good way, you know, but it's the Robert Frost. The man is standing under a tree. A crow shakes its feathers, and a clump of snow lands on this man's shoulder or head, don't remember. The dust of snow from a hemlock tree has given my heart a change of mood and saved some part of a day I had rued. That's the one I used to teach my students. It was just this simple dropping of a clump of snow onto this man has changed his entire day. Something as little as that. It might have made him laugh. It might have given him a shock. But he saw the humor in it. That was just a little crow up above my head. This little bird shook some snow on me. And suddenly, boom, took me out of this funk I was in or whatever and changed my mood. Just everything. And it is little things in life that can just touch us and change our perspective. We can be going along, oh my God, it's a gray fucked up day, and we're just never going to get out of this rut. And then suddenly we open our eyes to something different, or we hear something different, or somebody says something, or we catch a smile or something. Oh, thank you. Ah, I got a new day in front of me. From this point on, it's new and unfolded. Unfolded? It will be unfolding. It just, we can make of it something else. And tonight, geez, I've got a party lined up. My wife is safely in Japan. I had a text message from not number one son, but Jerry, not his real name, of course. And I don't know why I'm not using the real names. And I also reflected on the fact that all of these podcasts are so much about me and so little about my children. But Jerry sent me a text saying, Mom and I are safely at the Airbnb in Tokyo. Everything's fine. I hope you're okay. And good. That's all I need to know. My wife got on the flight in Toronto because he had left the day before her, I believe. They were on different flights. I got this incredible ANA deal out of Vancouver that my son put her onto, and we nailed that. And that's in that whole period of booking it and getting it going and how it all came together, and that she's having a holiday and she's with my son and they're together in Tokyo. Wow. That's wonderful. And meanwhile, my not number two son, but Chuck, why don't I use their real names? I don't know. I mean, it's always been a tradition on the Dix and Jane's podcast, fake names for everybody. I heard the name Weasel, and oh, I haven't heard that for a long time. I know exactly who Weasel is. You would if you listen to number 24. Well, no, you wouldn't, because I didn't use a real name. I just called her Weasel, the one I went to Mexico with the guy from Kingston. I had another name for him, too. Wasn't his real name. I've since used his real name, Alvin, of course. All right, anyway, I'm getting sidetracked here. Yeah, so Jerry had me up awake by 6-ish, I guess, because it's his first day back at work. This is his Monday. It's Friday. And I drop him off at Kennedy Station. Tomorrow I'll drive him all the way out to the airport. Tonight I won't pick him up because I'm going to be at this party. And that will be fun. And whether or not I have a toke there or not, I don't know. If edibles were sold, that's all I need. I wouldn't need to step outside to light up a joint. I would just pop a little gummy bear into my mouth or two. One, yeah, that'd be more sensible. And sit there and smile and have a pleasant evening. It's kind of neat. It's another little gathering of people, and they've chosen very carefully who comes. This was not an open invitation, just drop in if you're in the neighborhood. We're going to have a little party, and these are the people who are going to come. And I'm glad to be on that list. Happens maybe once or twice a year. And it's something to look forward to, something I will enjoy. All right. Anyway, plan the bus route. The brain is working. All right, you're going to get to Ape and then take the number 72 or 73. Is that it? Or you could take the 504 streetcar from Broadview. All right, anyway. Where were we? Celebrating how wonderful I am. Yes. I mentioned before from our men's group, this one gentleman, and again, I don't like to use anybody's names. It wouldn't matter. Well, it wouldn't matter at all, but a former alcoholic, he's just a good man. And I keep thanking him. And I thought about him today when I was thinking about Kenneth and how at the last meeting I said, that's why I've always looked up to you, Frank. You're a good man. And he said, all I try to do at the end, as we were getting into heavy talk, he said, all I try and do is like myself. And I said, that's it, exactly. That's what you got to do. And it can be a damn hard thing to do because we beat up on ourselves, as I've said countless times on the Dix and Jane's podcast. By the way, tomorrow is Canadian Podcast Day. I believe something Bob Goyette started, or Bob and Mark. Our dear, beloved, long, well, not long lost, a couple of years ago now, Bob. Boy, I'm glad he's been a part of this podcast. So Bob is in here, too. And that's the other thing I realized as I listened to 24. It's not just me. It is part of the community. That's why it's important to give shout-outs to people and be grateful for people like Rob and Catherine, who have always, I think they've almost looked after me from a distance. I have the feeling, yeah, if something happened, Rob and Catherine. Now, I'm not laying this on you, because maybe both of you listen. You know, no responsibilities here. I'm not crying out for help right now, but it's just, I've always said that about Rob. He's the guy you'd want in your trench if you're off to war. You'd want in your group. You know, people like him and like Bob are just, these are people you trust, you respect, and you know they're good people. I don't agree with his sense of humor most of the time. And he's very offensive when it comes to saying things about me, but I know behind all that there's a kindness. They were the ones who really took care of me, or helped me anyway, after I got off the boat in Kingston when I had my episode, and made sure I got a ride back to this very van. Oh, I think I'm going to shut down the engine now. It's warmed up a bit, and oh my God, yeah. Man, dude, you cannot pollute the atmosphere like that. You are a bad boy. And I think, yeah. Anyway, I'm glad to have this opportunity to talk to you. It's been fun because, man, I don't even know what I've said. I'm just motored on because I am a little bit high. But it was the time. Hey, my son's at work. Won't be home till 10. I'll be at a party at that time anyway. My wife and other son are in Japan with adventures ahead of them. And, yeah. Gee, maybe I could convince Jerry to look into getting one of those vacant houses in Japan with his help from his mother. Because, I mean, hey, he was born in Japan. He's, you know, if anybody could do it, Jerry could. And then that's something all of us could visit. But, hey, well, getting ahead of myself here. I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. And I don't say that as, oh, no, come on, dude. You don't have cancer that you know of. But, you know, I'm giving myself 10 years. Well, that's a good long time. But I'm happy that I reflect back on this. It also put to rest once again, although, of course, it won't be permanent, the whole notion that I have to write a book, because I say, fuck you. This is my story. And I make little dips back into the past, you know. I've talked about that little apartment on just off Lonsdale on West 2nd in Vancouver, above the, which was a, later became a sports shop. A place that burned and they rebuilt, the one with the bay windows. And mine didn't have curtains, I just had wine bottles. And so everybody driving by knew my apartment. It was a statement, and it was, wow, what a location, West 2nd and Lonsdale. You just hop on down that alleyway. It was right near Goofy's, which used to be the roller rink where I saw Pied Bear, used to be Pied Pumpkin. Anyway, where I farted on the disco dance floor, one of the most disgusting things I've done in my life, and now I look back on it with a little bit of pride. I went out with my boss, a woman at the time, it was a little bit strange, and it was strange, but, you know, she wasn't dating, and I was hired, and she was always my boss. This is at the North Shore Association for the Mentally Retarded. That's what it used to be. And I ran the little Coinda packaging. I was the manager of the packaging warehouse we had, using a shrink wrap machine and training a few mentally handicapped people to work. I ran the workshop. Yeah. Holy fuck! Talk about memories in the past that some of you might not have known about. What a rich fucking life I have had. What a rich fucking life I have lived. By God, I am grateful. Anyway, where was I with Carol? We went off, we snuck off on a weekend, and I wrote our names in our guest book, and it was just like, how, it couldn't have even been enjoyable, but, well, it was probably her car, a little campsite, we had a tent by the river, but it just seemed a romantic thing to do, to run off. You know, we had this little relationship, and then I guess, I don't know if it soured or just, hey, this isn't healthy, it's in the workplace, but how did I get onto her? Amity Packaging. I made up the name Amity Packaging. And this is a time when I didn't have confidence, and there are meetings with her and the superiors, and I should have been at those meetings, but she sort of made it clear, I'll handle this. And she'd waltz in and out of the workshop. And I did the work with the handicap, just like Fred did when he made core samples with the guys, and he ran the woodworking shop just off probably West 2nd and Lonsdale at another. That was Coinda. Coinda was the company. These are days from the sheltered workshops for the what later became community living, but was North Shore Association Mentally Retarded. And then maybe changed to Mentally Handicapped. I don't know. I think they did make that change while I was there. But put it in a few years, I guess, on and off at that. And loved it. Now, why her? It was that apartment in North End. I know I'm wandering now and starting to dribble and drool. Sorry, but it's been a good life to look back on. And it's fun sometimes to dredge up memories that have, while you still can. And it's always been fun to podcast. And so again, anybody listening, thank you. Kenneth in particular, thank you for just putting an entirely new spin on my day. And, I'm grateful. There are ripples, folks. There are ripples when we reach out and touch someone. Scarborough, signing off.
Oh,
Okay, today is the Canadian National Day of Podcasting, so I like the idea of recording on this day, but I'm also going to put this podcast out. I've got about 20 minutes left. Maybe I'll sneak in one more song. And, yeah, tie up a few loose ends. I listened to the previous clip. I never do that, and that's why I never know what's in each podcast when it comes to making show notes. But I had that connection to how did I end up talking about Carol, this woman I dated that I shouldn't have, or we shouldn't have. And it was because she was the one I was dancing with when I farted on the dance floor of Goofy's Discotheque. And it was one of those ones that, I mean, you're dancing, you keep on moving, but I know if people looked around, I'm sure everybody would have pointed the finger at me. They would have said, no, that guy doesn't fit in here. And it was that shock of going to a discotheque and getting at the door and seeing a guy in a three-piece suit with lots of jewelry. I'm like, whoa, what happened to the beads and the blue jeans? You know, like, whoa, I've entered a time warp. It was just so peculiar. And so that was my one and only time going to a discotheque and dancing. And it seems quite fitting that I cleared the dance floor. All right. Anyway, so that was one loose end. The other one I'm going to get to in a minute, and it was about this Love logo. But I got to start off. I opened the front door, and there's Yuki with a bird in her mouth. And this time it's not just a little bird. It's a fair-sized bird. And I feel bad. I mean, she is a wild cat. She's a wild cat that's found us. Has a life. He will sleep like a little angel all day up on my bed, but needs to get out, you know, 6 in the morning, 5 in the morning, needs to get out. And we can't keep her in. It'd just be cruel. I don't think we can make her into an indoor cat. But I don't like to see her killing birds, so I don't know. I've had things around her neck. We had a bell once, but she just gets rid of them somehow. And we've lost 3 name tags and everything. So maybe I'm going to have to get another bell for her neck. And, you know, because this isn't right. I feel like I need to apologize to all the Dixon Jane's listeners who are bird lovers. Who isn't? For this beautiful cat that we let run wild outside. And it's just her nature. I mean, this is how She is wild. And I was with 2 cats last night. And you know, these are indoor cats. And there's a difference. Back to this. I told you I'd seen through a friend of a friend of a friend. And people I've started connecting with who were, basically for the most part, they are deadheads. These are followers of the Grateful Dead. These are acid heads. These are people who dug Ken Kesey and the Grateful Dead and you know, hung out in California with him. And so the connection I've just made, because I really wanted to know the story. So it's for whatever reason, I'm not going to give his name now, although he's just told me just 5 minutes ago he hopes his book is out next summer. I think he was a fairly major player in the drug trade. And by the drug trade, we don't mean heroin. We mean weed and, I think, especially LSD. He was a friend of Owsley, and Owsley was the man who made that name comes up everywhere. It was the guy who supplied California with acid. Anyway, that's the connection. That's probably how he got his house up in the Hollywood Hills. Now I know this isn't bullshit. Now I know, no, this is the real thing. This is the real guy. Because at first I thought, well, maybe he's just name-dropping about Janice. And so I'll read out the answers I got. I'm asking him, listen, I love this band. And I'm just amazed at Arthur Lee's talent. And this is something I just talked about, like, say, 2 nights ago on the top 100 albums. And here I am after the fact, although you won't have heard that yet, with some extra information. Arthur was a close friend, had known him since 1966. He brought Jimmy to my house. Now, he just puts Jimmy, J-I-M-I, so we know we're talking about Hendrix. And I know that Arthur Lee and Jimi Hendrix were friends. One night in early 1970, They were close. They spent almost 100 nights during 1970 at my house in the Hollywood Hills. They were recording together, and I know that happened too. I went to a couple of their sessions anyway. I loved Arthur very much. I've posted a couple of stories about Arthur and Jimmy on my page. I'm hoping to publish my book next summer. Later on, and I'd written back about, I was so sorry about the tough life Arthur had, the time he spent in jail, the fact that his musicians he had for the album Forever Changes just sort of gave in. Well, do you give in to heroin? Just heroin got a hold of them, and they just were not able to keep making music together. And he said they both shot smack in my bathroom. I love them both. This is Jimmy and Arthur. I was a major dealer, but not smack. But our relationship was never about the drugs. I had a really nice house, and they loved hanging out right on Lake Hollywood. Amazing nights, the two of them jamming on acoustic guitars on my Thai batik pillows, the highlight of my life. Well, what an image. What an image. Jimi Hendrix, Arthur Lee, playing acoustic guitars on these batik pillows in this guy's house in the Hollywood Hills. Like, wow! This is as close as you get to, or I get to, a celebrityhood. Anyway, it went on from there. And, that's the update on why this man would be proudly showing the Love logo on his Facebook page. All right, what do we got left? The Canadian National Day of Podcasting, again, I said I attribute that to Bob, but it might have been Mark, too. And they want a short change mark, you know. This couple of days has been really special to me. And again, I'm thanking Kenneth for just sort of pointing me back to the past. And I just had a text from him today. He's, whoa, number 70 is a real trip too. So I'm going to have to go back and listen to Dixon Jane's number 70. We're talking this, I believe, is 711 or 712. I'm not sure. But we're going really back into the past here. And it's a trip. Yeah, I guess this is 711 or 712. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Sorry. I went to this party last night, and it was another interesting gathering of a real mix of people. And I realized, wow, the wealth, I've said this many times, the wealth is of my life is the people I connect with, relate with. And it was nice to be on this invitation list to this party because it was a very small gathering. And they had chosen. And first of all, it's cool because it's a neat little house in Toronto, in a neat area. There's sort of the Pape area, Pape and below Girard Dundas area. And their other houses are smaller and they're tight together and they're old, but they've got a history. They've been lived in. And so just going there, as opposed to the suburbs where I live with a big house and a big backyard and so on, it's fun. And I don't know if I made the mistake of, but I tooted up on my way there. And there was the host, Linda, a Japanese-Canadian, who's a very hip chick. That's a good way to describe her. And she and I have a long, long friendship that goes back many years, back to when we used to hang out at a few particular bars, including the Rex, with a fellow who's now in Japan. And she got married 5 years ago to another man who's quite different. And to a lot of people's amazement, it's a very successful marriage. He is a more of a serious type. I can't quite track down what he does, whether, I think he's an insurance, he's an accountant, and maybe to do with insurance, maybe to do with liability, I'm just not sure, but a corporate man, but who certainly fits right in. They have a very cozy little place. Oh, it's welcome there. And then another Japanese lady who shows up, who I also know from the Canada-Japan Society, and I've been at many events with her and movies and so on, and she's a little more quiet, but that's because a lot of us hog the floor. But a bright, bright woman. And then a fellow who makes his living reporting to companies and governments, I think along the lines of best practices, things that they should be doing for their workers, for the ethical way to run their business. Something along that field, which means he's in India, he's in Europe, he's all over the world doing this research and presenting reports to people. So he's sort of a guy, clearly with a good education, a bright man, who has a very neat job that he's sort of invented for himself. And so he's always, I mean, it's always when he pops into town, Linda likes to throw a little party to welcome him back to Toronto. Not quite sure where he's living. His wife, he has a Japanese wife. Boy, if I'm getting this wrong, it's crazy. Who has a very... No, that's the other guy. That's what happens when you get high and you go to a party, you start confusing people. I've met him several times. In fact, I was the one who got him to join the Canada-Japan Society. And a very entertaining speaker and an interesting guy to be with. So this is sort of like the days when you would have a dinner party, but it was just not like, hey, everybody, come on, hang out. But you would choose the guests around the kind of conversations you're going to have. And Linda wanted to know about my church, and of course that came up. And Greta and so on. Another man who's an engineering professor at University of Toronto. So we're talking bright people. I'm the dullard of the bunch, but I held my own. I did very well last night. My brain seemed to be working, and maybe it was the stimulation, the challenge from being with such esteemed company that kept me going. And yeah, his wife is Japanese. I'm picturing trying to count the people at the table. Hang on, I got a picture here. What the fuck? Just look at the goddamn picture and you'll know who was there. Yeah. Here we are. A picture of as they're leaving. Okay. That's her and that's her. And that's me. And here's the gang. Okay. Yeah. He was very interesting, and we talked a lot about University of Toronto and policies there and special needs of special students and where the limits are. And, of course, the man who's made all the news, damn it, like now of all times, you know, oh, Jordan Peterson. Is it Jordan? Anyway, Peterson, who the scandal, I guess, was fired from U of T for refusing to use proper names or sex assignments that students preferred, something along that line. You know, how people want to be addressed, and it's not just Mr. or Mrs. or Ms. or Miss or whatever. No, for transgender people, it might be something else altogether. Anyway, we got into that discussion, so it was fun, and of course the wine just kept flowing. So it was pizza and wings and a lot of wine and great conversation. And then I realized, holy fuck, I got to get out of here if I'm going to make it home. And I just made it to Warden Station in time to catch. So that was a pretty boring recap, wasn't it? I did not bring my recorder. I thought, you know, Ken, it would be interesting even to get just a few words from each of these people. Maybe your listeners would have enjoyed that a whole lot more than just you flatly retelling a night out just to fill space and time. But hey, that's the way it was. I'm just feeling so good about things. And Linda was asking me, well, okay, how are you? She's a very interesting lady. But this was another subset of friends. And now, just today, through these email exchanges of one person putting me into another one, said, well, you know, I got a thing going on the down low in the spring for pranksters. And pranksters are the people who followed Kesey and those people, you know, acid heads. And it's a very interesting group. And I'm just, and, you know, I'm not part of that, but I'm now on the fringes, and all this stems from going to Lowell for the Kerouac, the Lowell Celebrates Kerouac gathering where I met George Walker, who was the friend of, you know, Neil Cassady. So that was a real life connection. Well, there's this overlap of these people. And so one of the new friends said, hey, you know, if you're interested, I'll let you know. So who knows, you know, and I guess here's the last piece I want to put. I'm talking about right now, feeling very happy. I'm sitting in the road track. I'm looking at the front door of my house. My cat's running around somewhere. I don't know where she parked the bird. Oh, it's so sad. It was a beautiful bird, too. But there's a tremendous deal of satisfaction I'm feeling right now. But at the same time, there's this sense, man, you can't stop now. You can't even dare to slow down. Well, yeah, you can slow down. You're going to do fuck all today. But if there's a chance for adventure, like, for example, this gathering in Quartzsite, Arizona, you can't say, well, maybe another time. If there's an opportunity, if you're free, if you can do something, if you can go somewhere, don't let timidity, I like that word, don't let timidity or, what if, I don't know. Don't let any of that shit get in the way. You've lived a life pretty fully. You got to keep living it that way. It's not the time to put the brakes on. That's what I'm telling myself. You just happen to be listening in here. Because that could so easily happen, you know. I mean, that's why I got this road trip. It makes me mobile. If this guy's having a gathering somewhere in the States and people are welcome, I show up in this thing, hey, I'm dependent. Don't worry. I got a place to sleep tonight. I'm fine. Just let me park over there, will you? And the same for Quartzsite and the same for any other possible adventures. This is not the time in life to stop. While I still can function and move and be active and think clearly enough to get to where I want to go, I am almost obliged to do it. Because once you do reach that point where you need looking after, where you're just not up to it, where, you know, something's going to happen because you're going to get badly lost. Okay, there is a time to quit. There is a time to fold. But in my life now, this is not that time. I've got to keep going. So I'm going to end on that very positive note. Happy Canadian National Day of Podcasting to all you fuckers out there. Scarborough! Signing off.
I have my share of hard times too. Well, I lost my faith in the world, honey, when I lost you. Remember the good time we had together. Don't you want them back again? Though these hard times bugging me now, honey, now it's a sin.
someone.